We are incredibly blessed to have so many children in our midst, and what a great way to note that than on Palm Sunday when we have the children waving palms in our midst with their big smiles walking around. I am reminded of a story I've heard of a church that had a similar tradition where they had the children do so, except they would have the children process outside of the church and eventually make their way into the church for the Palm Sunday service. So there was not music being played while they were marching along, but they were instructed to chant along, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And they were doing a wonderful job, but there was one little boy who just got caught up in the fervor and he couldn't help himself, and he broke out into song and he started singing, "Oh, Hosanna, don't you cry for me." That was the last time they had that tradition. Last time that little boy had to do that. It is Palm Sunday here at Christ Memorial and at all churches around the world. It is the beginning of the Holy Week march that we have on our way to Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and eventually to Easter. And the thing about these sorts of days, the thing about Palm Sunday, is so many of us, most of us, I think, would say that we have heard this story over and over and over again. My guess is there are some folks here who have heard this story on this Sunday every year for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. Whether it comes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, each one of the Gospels with their own account, that in and of itself a pretty remarkable thing. We have heard this story over and over again to the point where, if pressed, we could retell this story. Maybe missing out a little bit of the details or the minutiae, but we know it. And there's something wonderful about that. It is what unites us one with another. It's what unites us to those who have come before and those who will come after, who also will hear the story year after year after year on Palm Sunday. But it also presents a challenge, because when something becomes so familiar, it's easy to think that we have gleaned what there is to glean from it, especially when it comes to stories or scriptures from the Bible. We tend to think, well, we've learned what there is to learn about the story of Palm Sunday, and maybe there is something to be said for just telling the story again, like I did with the children just a moment ago, because there's power simply in the retelling. But the challenge in particular for preachers, each and every Sunday, but especially on Sundays like Palm Sunday, with stories that are so very familiar, is trying to discern something new to say, some new message to bring, and that is particularly a challenge on days like this. Because it's also true that we have taken some of these stories and we think we've squeezed so much out of them that there's some things that we've missed and they become too familiar almost. Peter Gomes, who was a professor at Harvard University and an author, once said that he thought we have tamed down Palm Sunday too much. As he put it, we have turned it into a parade thing, and thus we have managed to distance ourselves from the embarrassing and indecent message of the cross, as he would say. That one of the reasons we have turned it into more of a celebration of a parade, a pomp and circumstance, is so that we don't have to look as seriously and as intently on what happens in just a few short days on Good Friday. You know, I've certainly been guilty of that as a preacher. I think every preacher who has preached on Palm Sunday, probably from the very first sermon that he or she has preached, has drawn some connection from Palm Sunday to some parade experience that that preacher has had. You know, I've talked about Memorial Day parades that I've seen. I've talked about championship teams returning home to their victory parade and somehow drawn a connection to how people line the streets and are so excited. And that was then somewhat what it was like when Jesus entered Jerusalem. And maybe that's not wholly untrue, but I think it leaves us at a surface understanding of what really was going on that first Palm Sunday, that time that Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem. But I also think that Gomes skips ahead a little too fast in the second part of his critique about why it is that we have so often in the church turned Palm Sunday into a parade thing. You see, he thinks it's because we don't want to face Good Friday as much as we might need to or as much as we should. I would posit that one of the reasons we've turned it into a parade thing so often is because we may not want to approach and look at Palm Sunday for really what it was and what it maybe should be for us. And this is where, as a preacher, I go out on a limb a bit And I enter into waters that we haven't necessarily entered into all that much, the kind of waters that people tell you not to enter into as a preacher. Because what I want to tell you today is that I think one of the great truths of Palm Sunday that we rarely talk about is that it highlights for us how Jesus was at times in his ministry, and on that day in particular, very political. This is where the preacher is going to talk a bit about politics and church, which may not be all that popular. I recognize that. That's okay. But on that Sunday, or on that day that Jesus rode into town, he was doing something highly political. To understand why that's true, I think you need a little bit of context that I have shared before in previous Palm Sunday sermons. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan are two biblical scholars who a few years ago released a book that they co-authored together entitled The Last Week. And in that book, one of the things that they share is some of the research that they had done, historical research, which highlighted that Jesus was not the only one to ride in on some sort of a march into Jerusalem at that time. You remember that Jesus came into Jerusalem at this time in particular because it was the Passover festival in Jerusalem. And so Jerusalem was packed, filled with hundreds of thousands of Jewish pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to celebrate a part of their history that was so and continues to be so very important for them. Keep in mind, what they were celebrating was their release from captivity of their oppressors in Egypt. And so when Jesus comes to Jerusalem, while the Jewish people in Jerusalem itself are under the rule of Rome, they have come to celebrate being released from their oppressors hundreds of years before. Well, Rome knows this. Rome understands this. Rome allows it to happen, allows these Jewish people to gather in the hundreds of thousands to celebrate this part of their history, but they're not going to do it without showing who they are first. And so for that Passover festival time, Rome would always send extra soldiers into the city, hundreds of extra soldiers. And they would also send in the local, of the region at least, the local authority figures. And that would mean Herod and Pilate, who ruled that area, but would often not be in Jerusalem itself, actually made their way into the city for that Passover festival to show the Jewish people that Rome was there and Rome was watching. They were willing to let them celebrate this, but let it not be confused with them allowing them to think that they could do this again. So it was true that Herod and Pilate would have in those days also come into Jerusalem, riding they on horses, surrounded by soldiers, in a grand military parade that entered into the city that was meant to send a very direct message to the people in Jerusalem that we are here and we are watching. And so it's also true that Jesus knew that that had happened or was happening. So we can't but imagine that as Jesus rode into Jerusalem in the way he chose to ride into Jerusalem, he was making a political statement and a political move. There were other ways for Jesus to enter Jerusalem. He simply could have walked in. He could have come in under the cover of night. He could have stayed outside of the city and done his ministry out there, but he chose instead to enter in the way that he entered, riding on the donkey, to the crowds that gathered around him shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." This was a political statement that Jesus was making as he rode into Jerusalem on that fateful day that we celebrate today. And I can't help then thinking about that historically, and always with a mind, with an eye towards how does Scripture inform what we do and how we live today, I can't help but think about our current situation. I can't help but think about what happened just yesterday, when the largest crowd to ever gather to protest in our nation's capital gathered for the March for Our Lives. Over 800,000 people gathered in Washington, D.C. yesterday, and hundreds of thousands more in cities and towns around the country, millions, a million or more people who gathered for that purpose, to send a message to those in power, their message particularly being about gun reform. And then I also can't help, on that one hand, on the other hand, to think about the plans that are in place and being worked on for a grand military-style parade to take place in the same place within the next few months in Washington, D.C. On one hand, a march for common sense gun reform. On the other hand, a march to show our military strength and our willingness to answer violence with violence. And those, I think, are held in tension for us, whether we want them to be or not, on this Palm Sunday. We could stay on the surface, and we could talk about what a great, exciting day it was for Jesus to walk into Jerusalem, but Jesus was making a statement. Jesus knew who would see what he was doing. He knew those were Herod and Pilate, and he knew those were the Jewish officials who also were in power in Jerusalem at the time. And he came in riding that way as a sign and as an advocate for the least of these. That was the mark of his ministry throughout his life. It is the mark of God's ministry throughout Scripture, a bias towards those who are voiceless, a bias towards those who are powerless, a call to those who are in power and who are of privilege to use that power and that privilege on behalf of those who are not, to stand up for those who are not. Now, I want you to understand something a little bit personal about me, that it was true not so very long ago that I would very quickly explain to people that I was anything but political, very much apolitical, that I wasn't interested in what was going on in politics. I was okay to set that aside to focus on what I thought was more important in my life, in my call, or whatever the case may be. I have come to realize over the last few years that that in and of itself is a great position of privilege. That I, as a middle-class, white, heterosexual male, can very easily turn a blind eye to politics, because politics, over the course of the history of human history, and in particular of our nation's history, has benefited me above anyone else. And not everyone in this group is in the same position I'm in, but many of us, a majority of us sitting here today, can also claim, if we're willing, that we are people of privilege, that we are people of a certain amount of power. And so I think the message for us, if we're willing to recognize that what Jesus was doing was being a very political activist on that day of Palm Sunday, if we are willing to recognize that and embrace that, and if we are the ones who want to be calling out Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, if we are the ones who want to call ourselves Christians, who want to serve and be disciples of Jesus Christ, then we are called to do as he did. We are called to speak truth to power, even if that means stepping out of our comfort level and stepping into politics with our faith. Not keeping one apart from the other, but letting our faith inform in particular our political activism and engagement. Because the fact of the matter is, our nation and our world needs more people of faith actively engaged in the politics of our country, of our community, who are willing to look hard at ourselves, at our scriptures, at who Jesus Christ was and is and ever shall be, and figuring out how that fits with how our world and our nation works. And being willing, as Jesus did, to speak truth in love to power, and to do that on behalf of the least of these. This is a chance for us, a challenge for us, to take a step away from treating Palm Sunday as just another parade thing, and to see it for what I think it really was, a very powerful statement, a very powerful political statement on Jesus' part, and a call then throughout the history, throughout the ages and the years, for us to join Christ in that as well. Speaking truth in love to power on behalf of the least of these. That is my hope for this Palm Sunday, for next Palm Sunday, and the next, and quite frankly, every day that falls between. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.